Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of Wikicuriosity Media or its affiliates. Wikicuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on Wikicuriosity Media programs is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor.
Coming to you live from the Wicked Curiosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's the Falling from Grace podcast.
Good evening, fans. Welcome to the Falling from Grace podcast show. I'm Angel, your host, and with me tonight is Danielle, my wonderful co-host.
Hello.
You can follow us on Facebook at the Falling from Grace podcast Facebook page. You can also find us on the Wicked Curiosity Media Facebook page, where you will also find links to our Instagram and YouTube and our website. So I believe there's links. If not, they're on the website for sure. I can tell you. But we do have a YouTube. Unfortunately, our show isn't uploaded onto YouTube, but you can find all of the other Wicked Curiosity Media shows on there. You can see blogs that have been written on the website. You can also see pictures. Most of that stuff will be updated soon. Oh, we also have a TikTok. It's at Wicked Angel. You should go follow it. We'll have updates soon. If you want to join us, you can call in at 718-664-9735, or you can participate in our Facebook Live broadcast going on right now. Boom. That's it. That's all I got.
She's done now. Bye.
I'm done. That was the show. Have a great night. Go. We are in the final moment before school starts again here in Tennessee. And I don't know about any of you other moms out there, but we're getting a little stressed out here. I don't know, back to school shopping. What's my shopping? It looks like we have a caller. I could be wrong, but I'm going to go ahead and find out. Welcome to Falling. Hello?
Hi there, how are you?
Good, how are you? Who are we talking to tonight?
Hotep, H-O-T-E-P.
Well, welcome to the show, Hotep.
Hey, thank you. I just caught the tail end. I heard you mention back to school shopping, my homeschool, my children. And the reason is I found that the religious schools, the private schools, all of them tended to have major flaws, and homeschooling was the most viable option given all the flaws that I encountered. And so, you know, I don't go through the same mindset when it comes to shopping for the new school year, because school is home. And, you know, it's a much more liberating, for me at least, than my wife and children experience, because we control the syllabus, the curriculum, for the most part. There are some themes that the large government at the top insists that we cover, and they claim it's to ensure that all kids have equal, which is a farce, because they provide us each year with two train cards. Meanwhile, our competition gets in our state about 24,000 approximately per student, and we still beat them in spelling and chess and math, et cetera. So,
that's awesome. You know, what state is that?
New York.
New York.
Wow. Yes.
Well, that's great. I know that there's actually there's a lot more parents homeschooling this year, so for various reasons, obviously. I have homeschooled my two oldest. They were homeschooled for 2 years while my husband was finishing up his military career. It was just easier. And I think it's great for some families. I think some families are wonderful with homeschooling. I think that the curriculum is a lot easier and it's almost like unschooling. But for us, it presented a lot of challenges in that I didn't feel like I just wasn't prepared for it. I am not a very good school teacher with patience. And so it actually was better for us to go back to a situation where they had a teacher.
Official teacher. I think it works for some people, but for certain ethnic groups, and I've been in various institutions here and abroad, the educational system doesn't have the same positive outputs. So I could understand possibly why you might find, you know, the traditional setting better. Do you mind if I quickly add about the vaccine? Because it's something happening in the news now that is kind of taken over the world. I think it's very odd that the big pharmaceutical companies that are for-profit endeavors, ventures, corporations, are so intrigued by our health that they create drugs with side effects for profit that we then have to ingest or have stuck, as opposed to evaluating some of what they synthesize, which is nature, and putting it in the public domain instead of having patented drugs. So you could, for instance, if you and I were researchers and scientists that created drugs, we could say, wow, this is going to help humanity. Oh, my goodness, people are dying. No, what they do instead is make it for profit, and immediately I'm suspicious, because if you about health and profit, it seems to be a contradiction. So I'm very
leery. Absolutely, and I know that you guys are definitely facing some challenges in New York when it comes to the vaccine.
The challenges are trumped up, though. You remember when they were saying New York hospitals were full about a year ago? It was not true. And I'm a person about truth. Even if I'm wrong, I say, okay, that's the truth. So I have to reinvestigate, reanalyze. I visited some of the hospitals. They weren't full. And it shocked me because they claimed they were, and that was kind of the litmus test for me to say, okay, they didn't pass the simplest test, which is I didn't even look in the medicines. I just looked for the numbers, and one hospital had a quarter full in the emergency room, another one about a half. I expected people to be outside, so that led to my quest for, well, why are they lying? And I've continued, you know, digging and researching and reflecting. But, I think we're misled by leaders that have selfish agendas. If I'm in a business for profit purely and I sell sneakers, okay, you know, I have the best sneakers. You want them, it costs $200. But for medicine, for law enforcement, for military, for certain sectors, they definitely shouldn't be for profit, you know? Contracts should be reasonable, not making some groups wealthy as people lose their lives fighting for, you know, our nation and on the streets. So, but hopefully, that's my perspective. I'm sure other people may have some differences, and I appreciate being able to, you know, have access to some of your airwaves.
Absolutely. We appreciate your call tonight.
Thank you so much. I'll continue listening, and you all stay safe and be empowered.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you, you too.
Okay. We truly appreciate the call and appreciate the listen. So, he was very serious in his views on school and homeschooling and you know, other stuff. was trying to be a little funny. I don't want to go back to school shopping. Have you ever shopped with a preteen 10-year-old girl? It's not fun. I've already got yelled at twice.
And you don't even know.
It's not a preteen 10-year-old girl. It's our preteen 10-year-old girl. There's a whole level of difference because there's another preteen 10-year-old girl down there that is sweet as pie, that loves everybody and is nice to everybody. And then there's a whole other preteen 10-year-old girl down there that is ruthless and mean and violent and loves to give hugs and kisses.
And welcome to the show, Dan.
Hello.
So, yeah, no, he's not lying, though. Literally, this kid has been here with me for 2 years, and I don't, for me, that has been great. For her social skills, it's not been so great, and she's kind of not very nice now.
Pot, meat, kettle.
Listen, she has so much of my attitude running through here that I've had to find her a therapist to help not be mean like me.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Sometimes it is beneficial to have certain personalities go into the public school system because we clash at home.
Yeah, that was so much alike. For
us,
that was part of, we did homeschool for 2 years when our oldest two were, she was in fourth grade and he was right in the middle school. And she's got special needs. We were having a huge fight with military schools on getting her what she needed, and so I just pulled them. And we found a really great homeschooling program that worked at their level. I could rearrange it how I needed it, which was awesome. But with her, because of her deficits at the time, I would have to sit right there with her for 8 hours a day. I couldn't move for 8 hours a day. And then my oldest, he did really good the first year, and completely screwed around year two. And so when we moved here, he hadn't finished the year. He got in the summer because he didn't do the work. So I enrolled him in public school because he hasn't finished this grade yet. So if you want to start, do high school here, mm-hmm. you're going to have to get it together. And he did. He did that whole year in 5 months. He got a super long summer out of it, and he did great. And in public school, he excelled. He did wonderful, and she's done really well because they had a teacher and they have the special needs classes, things like that, that were available to her. I feel like I would have been doing her a disservice to keep her home because I don't think she would have gotten the same level of education out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's doing stuff now that's fun. I can give her an electronic baby. I can do that. I'm not going to give her real babies. She gets to do fun stuff, I'm overly impressed with the school system here, but it's got to be better than me. Last year's virtual learning was a disaster, and so, no, it's got to be better than being home.
Well, and I mean, just the education that the teachers have, not to say you're not educated, but they just have, in theory, they have a better education to deal with the different learning styles. They have the ability to deal with, or to potentially have better curriculum to hand out and give to the children that's prepped. Whereas last year you were kind of thrown into it and you didn't really have that kind of prep.
Nobody knew what they were doing.
So there's advantages.
Yeah, I mean,
to homeschooling into.
I taught school for a year.
Mm-hmm.
As a kindergarten teacher, I would only do kindergarten. That's it.
So why only 8 years?
Because I was pregnant and I actually started at the school part-time as a teaching assistant just to do something because my now ex-husband was back in Oklahoma. I was in Washington State. My dad had just passed away and we were trying to wrap things up and had just found out I was pregnant. And so I wasn't going anywhere right away. And I needed something to do. I wanted to be able to have money to take care of the kids because I had them with me. And started out as a teaching assistant on a reservation. And it was fun. And I want to say a few months into it, the teacher got sick. And because it's a very small reservation. It's not like they have people pounding on the door to teach. They kind of just handed me a class, and I became a teacher, and loved those kids. I did. It was very rough. That is a whole different ballgame when it comes to education, because it was a very poor reservation, and I saw kids every day, you know, 5 years old that would come streets and streets away by themselves to school, walk themselves to school. Some of them were really violent kids. Some of them were just very quiet and wouldn't talk. It took a lot of work, and I loved it because I was able to come up with, I mean, we had to remove one child. He ended up having to go to a special school because he was so incredibly violent, which is very sad at five. I don't know how many times that kid told me his family was going to come kill me in my sleep. It's like, okay.
Not the traditional kindergarten teaching.
And then another one that would be right there with him, but when that child was removed from the class, this one over here was still having a rough time, but he wasn't violent. And then I realized that he was coming to school by himself, and he wasn't eating.
Aww.
And so in the mornings, I would go with the whole reservation, families and all, could come have breakfast for free. And that sometimes that was where they ate for everything. And so in the mornings I would go down and I would get my breakfast, but then I would get another plate and I would set it at my desk. And when he would come to class, he would go, I could see him right across the hallway in another room, and he would eat his breakfast. And then he was such a sweet kid.
Mm-hmm.
He was so super sweet.
I get hungry too.
Yeah, he was just hangry as hell. Because my thinking is, you know, possibly didn't eat dinner the night before.
Right.
You know, now he's also walking all the way to school, and it's early. Mm-hmm. I don't know how well he slept. And that is a hard part of being a teacher that we don't see. And I'm not saying, I've encountered many, many schools where that doesn't really matter. They just want your kid to behave and do what they need to do. But when you're in a smaller setting, this school, one building was K-12. And so you had more opportunity to really get to know your kids, because the classes were really small. I had like 10 kids in my class.
Mm-hmm.
And
you could potentially see them from, you know, K through 12.
Absolutely.
As they grew up.
Absolutely. Austin's class, he was in first grade down the hall from me, and there was like 6 kids in his class.
Wow.
You know, it was just such a different atmosphere. I had to sub in a 5th grade class once, though. I'm not going to lie, those kids ate me up and spit me out. They were so freaking mean. I was like, I never will ever volunteer or say yes to subbing for those kids again, because they're fucking mean.
Well, okay, so the story you were talking about, though, is like the child that didn't eat. I mean, that's one of the pros of going to a public school, is that they do have the opportunity,
yes,
to eat, whereas if they were homeschooled,
we don't
know
what
they may not. They may not get to. You know,
yeah.
A lot of the schools I know locally had like a open cafeteria planned during the day for,
yeah,
you know, Monday through Friday for the children that were at home and couldn't eat or whatever.
We could go pick up lunches.
Maybe that's what it was.
Granted, I used to get a little jealous because, you know, TikTok was so popular during quarantine,
mm-hmm,
and so there were a lot of parents that would get their lunch haul. You know, if you have 4 kids, you're bringing home a lot of food, and they would be unpacking it. I'm seeing like hot lunches and things that they can put in their freezer, and like these literally these wonderful things. And it's not anything against not counting, but if I had to see one more peanut butter and jelly Uncrustable in a bag with the same damn carrots, that eventually I would have to like make a giant pot of carrots. Nobody eats damn carrots.
Get a rabbit.
Yeah, or, you know, I don't, there was a few times where we got bad fruit, and I would just have to come in the door and throw it all away because,
mm-hmm,
it was bad. So that was a little disappointing because quality was not there where,
mm-hmm,
if they were in school,
hopefully
I guess quality would
be
there.
Hopefully it would be a little more closely.
We ended up stopping because the kids just weren't eating it. And it, to me, that's wasteful, and I didn't want to keep wasting food. It was ridiculous. They'd eat the meat and cheese sandwiches, but when it was peanut butter and jelly day, like, that stuff would sit in my refrigerator.
You don't like
forever.
Peanut butter and jelly?
Not the Uncrustables, because they don't use real peanut butter.
Oh, yeah. It's
like
it's not as good.
Butter,
and, yeah.
You know, Sophia's like, that will make me throw up. Okay. All right. Cool. Whatever. But they did try. And, you know, kids did have available. The food was there. You got breakfast and lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would send you enough. You'd go twice a week. They'd send you enough. You know, you'd have the whole week taken care of. And that was something that I liked about the school that I taught at. Might not have been fancy food, but there was always a giant pot of oatmeal out. They did scrambled eggs and biscuits and gravy. It, you know, quantity over fancy. You know, they didn't do a lot of sugary sweet stuff. They would do pancakes. The thing was is that they encouraged families that came in and the kids, if you eat it and you're still hungry, go get more. Fill
mm-hmm.
your whole stomach up. Because they knew a lot of these kids were not eating at home.
Right.
And so, so that's a plus to it. I also think being able to socialize is important, as we've seen. I have two kids that don't ever want to leave the house and hate people and wish
that. Is the same thing true for adults? Because
yes.
I have forgotten how to socialize in quarantine.
Such anxiety. We just went to a birthday party. A birthday party at an outdoor public pool. And I was the awkward one sitting in a corner of the grass by myself the whole time because even though all of these kids have gone to school together now for 5 years, I don't talk to any of the parents except the mom of the kids that invited us.
Right.
And I'm just like, I hate it here.
I want to go home.
I don't want to be 3 hours. I want to sit here for 3 hours by myself.
I struggle with it, too, because...
So poor Sophia was like, if she lost her little, whatever friend she was with, she would come and stand next to me and stare at me until I got up and would walk her by her hand to go find a person because she refused to do it by herself.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're too many people.
Can adults do that for each other, too?
Just go over to the other side of the pool. She's probably over there. I don't see her. Can you just come with me?
I don't want to. I don't want to people.
So I just walked, like, so many times I had to get up and, like, I finally put it down her brother. Like, can you be a good big brother, please, and just stay with your sister for a little bit? She's not by herself.
Comfort her.
Oh, Atlanta. Yes. That's the only plus I'm seeing right now to what I'm expecting to be a fairly normal school year. I don't know. Everybody is entitled to their own opinions. As of right now, our schools will not require masks, which I think is a mistake. That's my personal opinion, and that's fine. Only because if we're going to spout it out there that we're 10 times worse now than when we went into lockdown in March, then shouldn't we be wearing masks? Just putting that out there. If nothing else, to protect teachers and staff, because we know that children spread germs, including COVID. But it is what it is. My kids are going to wear a mask. I know a lot of parents that are sending, I don't feel as bad now. I know a lot of parents that are sending their kids with masks, and that's fine. I just think it's weird because we are definitely seeing states around us react completely different. Even our college, the college in Knoxville, has required masks.
Wow.
If you're in the building, you have to have a mask on. But our, what's the word I'm thinking of? Leader has decided he doesn't want to do that. So that's okay. It's whatever. Be smart, people. Just be smart. I don't, whatever. I wear a mask sometimes. Depends on where I'm at. You know, that stores that I go in, that there's never anybody in there. And so I don't always wear a mask.
Right.
But if I go to Walmart, I don't even care if there was COVID around. I'd wear a mask and a whole body suit if I could.
I see you going in.
Oh, I hate Walmart so much.
Full body suit.
When COVID was really bad, every time we would walk into Walmart, I refused to touch the cart. I would walk through like this with my mask on. I wouldn't touch anything on the shelves. Like, nah, I'm good.
Need to make the kids put it in there for you?
No, Joey. I don't go by myself to Walmart normally anyway. I'm here because our Walmart is a little sketchy.
I can see you in gloves and like
so bad. Like when they first started throwing it in our face and like really making amping everybody up. Yeah, no. Growing up, I was pretty fine. Like I still keep sanitizer in my car. I sanitize my mask and so stuff like that. But when we would go to, like, big box stores, I will just walk through with my hands cupped under my armpits, and you touch all the things and tell everybody to stay away from me. 6 feet.
No, I did do some of the grocery delivery during that time just because, you know, I was living by myself there at the beginning of the pandemic, and that was just easier than having to go socialize. And I was like, okay, if I don't have to go expose myself, I'm willing to pay, you know, $5 for someone to just deliver my groceries to my door, then I don't even have to get dressed.
My only problem with that is, and because, you know, for you, it was a little different because you don't have to be as choosy about, like, the meats and things like that because it's just you.
Exactly.
And for us, oh, my God, when they put restrictions on meat, I was so incredibly frustrated because I would, where they're telling us, don't go out more than you need to, you know, once a week trips to the grocery store, whatever. And I was like, but with this happening, I literally have to come every other day because you're not allowing me to get enough meat to feed my family.
Right.
Like this, I can't do this. And
yeah, I know the panic I felt just by myself. But I also have an adult daughter who was pregnant who did not live with me, but I was panicked for her. You know, I was like trying to get stuff for her that I didn't necessarily need, you know, but I was, you know, I imagine having a family, I mean, that is...
It's a pain. We had a really great cashier, and I hope she never got in trouble, but she was like, every time we come in, she's like, you get what you need, and don't worry about it. I'm not going to say anything. Just get what you need. Otherwise, I would take myself, Dan, the godfather, and the uncle, and we would all go together just for meat.
So you could individually run through?
For meat, paper towels, tissues, cleaning supplies. We would all fill up our own little carts, and then we would just get out the cart down
the
line.
Are unlimited.
We did a lot of self-checkout and just pass the cart. So, you know, hopefully we stay out of that kind of zone. I don't want to go through that again. It was annoying. I don't like it. Let's not be Australia. No, I feel bad for them. I feel bad for you. I'm sorry. It's really bad there right now. It's horrible. I don't know why I'm laughing. It's why I'm sorry.
When I get scared, I laugh.
It's part of his laughter. It's inappropriate. It's a problem. I'm sorry. No, it's in all seriousness, it is really bad in Australia right now. Like, there's military and police roaming the streets telling people to go back in their homes. You literally have to ask permission to leave to go get essentials, and only one person can do that.
That's terrifying, though, to me.
Yes.
To think about that kind of restriction. So I just watched a show on Netflix, and it was kind of like that kind of environment. And that's terrifying.
It is.
I mean, that is terrifying.
And I don't know how Australia is set up, because there's been a little bit of debate on whether or not we could pull that off in the United States. But you look at each individual state, like, do we even have enough military anymore to pull that off? And Washington State's completely defunded their police, so they don't have that going for them. Like, all the little side neighborhoods and, you know, downtown Memphis, downtown Knoxville, downtown Nashville. I wouldn't want to go through there.
Well, a year and a half ago, they'd have been able to shut everything down like they did either. So.
This is true. And there's always a possibility, and I am not trying to scare anyone. There is always a possibility, though. I'm trying not to plan too far in advance for anything. I don't know what's going to happen next month, much less next year. Like, just waiting to see all the pieces kind of fall in, and I think until we stop having, until the climax of the vaccine issue hits, we aren't really going to know what's going to happen. Because right now we're still ramping up, you know, mandates are happening now. That's what I was talking about with that guy. New York City, or New York, is mandating vaccines, period.
The whole state.
Yeah. You want to be able to go into restaurants and stores and venues unless you've been vaccinated. So that's a little different. It's a little different. And he's always been, was he a for or against Trump? I don't remember. Well, he was against Trump. So he's a Democrat, right?
I'm not sure.
So So I think that he was outspoken against the Conservative Party. So it's not too surprising. And I see states like Tennessee that at this point are like, I don't know, 40-60 red, pushing back. And definitely, even though I still think he's an idiot, sorry, sir, definitely push back before he gives in and says, yeah, okay, you have to do it. He'll push back.
I would hope so. I would hope so. Because I don't think anything like that should be forced on an individual.
No. Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out what's going to happen when they say that, because I'm still not doing it. I don't give a shit. I'll be in jail. I don't care. What do you do? I'm not doing it. My body. My choice. My kids' bodies. My choice. not even their choice.
It's all your choice.
Yes.
Not even yours. Dan's just shaking his head in agreement.
I hope that everybody, though, is prepared for school the upcoming school year. We were not. We have had kids that have literally lived in pajamas for like 2 years. Like, I didn't even know they grew out of their clothes till last week. Whatever. And now we're starting over where I normally would have this huge box of leftover school supplies that we just pick from each year. We didn't have that this year, so everything's new. There's no like, oh, I have 10 boxes of unused crayons. We're good to go. No, there was nothing in the bottom of that box. So, some rulers that they apparently don't use in school anymore and a protractor. That wasn't on anybody's list either.
No, they don't need that anymore. It's an old.
Yeah, I was like,
antiquated.
Who did I find this for? Who needed this? I did find a scientific calculator, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah. But they probably don't even need that anymore.
Well, so our oldest does. Mm-hmm. She's in Algebra 2 this year. So she'll need it. I'm kind of hoping this fulfills all of her math, because I made the mistake, because I loved math. So I made the mistake of being like, I'll take math senior year. That's fine. You know, I love math. I'm good at it. It's an easy class. I took trigonometry. I thought I was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
I hated it.
Yeah.
Hated it.
Statistical reasoning was the bane of my existence.
I wanted statistics because I was feeling trig and was like, okay, I was wrong. This class is not working for me, and I don't want to fail. She was like, oh, it's too late. I'm not gonna grant that.
I'm glad my children are grown and I don't have to deal with that anymore.
Oh, trig was cool. I'm not. Oh, Algebra 2, not so bad. I did it with Dan. When he was in college, I did it. When I was in college, I had to redo it and take it for college. So I think we'll be okay with that. Plus, Austin is pretty good with math. Think we'll be okay there. And Caitlin's phenomenal with math. So I think once she gets it, she'll get it. But if she decides to take math next year, I'm going to quit. I'm not doing it.
No more math.
No more math. No more. I
Everybody got to do the math.
I can't explain trig at all. Because I hated it. I don't do theory in math. That is not my thing.
Math is an abstract thing for me anyway, so give me spelling. Give me English. Give me lit. I got those things.
Let's write a story.
Math, although, I'm like, uh-uh. 2 + 2 is what?
She's done a lot of really interesting like English stuff last year, which I did, and I thought they were really great. Her teacher never read them and she got like average grades on them, and I'm like, what?
I did better than average.
That's a really great poem. What the hell are you talking about? You obviously read that one, ma'am.
She should have homeschooled that year. She'd have gotten an A++.
We did like 3 things that we were both like super excited for. And like 2 weeks later, I'd be like, so what did your teacher have to say about it? She didn't say anything.
Like when your kid doesn't win the science show and you know that was the best project there, right?
She didn't say anything about this one. This is a really great kids book, man. Jerks. Hopefully in school's better. Read the stories, teachers. I was so excited about her children's book. It was so amazing. Her artwork was amazing and nothing. Not one comment. No feedback. Really, you suck. I can't do it.
Again, I'm glad mine are grown. I'm done with that.
What do you think?
About?
He's glad he has a wife.
Going back to school.
Oh, I'm out of school.
No. Them going back to school.
Oh.
Like in a building, back to school.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, so school in a classroom setting, in a school setting, offers so many advantages to children other than quote-unquote experts of the topic teaching them. School is and should be so much more than just a learning environment. School should be a way to socialize kids, a way for kids to learn how the world works, especially as you get up into high school and stuff like that, because the world isn't exactly going to be what you see in school. And it gives kids an opportunity to be around different types of people. There's so much uniqueness and so much diversity within a school setting that, you know, kids get to experience that they wouldn't experience in, you know, being at home. And you can teach your kids all about inclusion, all about diversity, and all the social skills that you want. But if they don't, if they aren't able to put those lessons into practice, then they're going to struggle when they get out in the real world.
Absolutely. I think, especially now, because especially in the area that we live, for our two young kids, because they've not been exposed to as many cultures and diversity as, say, the older two. The older two, unfortunately, you know, when they were little, I lived in some pretty rough places. We always got along fine. I mean, it wasn't horrible for them, but the places that we lived were really rough. But they were exposed to real world stuff.
Yeah.
And different, very diverse areas. And so there's never a question for them. They don't question anything.
Right.
You know, they don't question how to treat people, and there's just never any confusion with inclusion.
Yeah.
Whereas our two youngest, which they do great, don't get me wrong, but
well,
they weren't exposed to the same thing.
Right, but they get the opportunity to see us put inclusion and diversity into practice with everybody that comes through the house. Everybody that's included in the family. You know, I mean, we have people from different cultures that come through. We have people from different lifestyles. We have people that, you know, hold different jobs that are mentally different than we are. And, you know, while we don't have a fully rounded, you know,
Social group,
right. Even with the small amount of people that we have, we are able to show that everybody is different and everybody is unique in their own way.
Yeah, and thankfully, on my side, my kids are definitely have been introduced to a wide range of cultural backgrounds and lifestyle backgrounds. Like, we have LGBTQ rampant through my side of the family. We have all sorts of races, because that just is what it is, throughout our family. And so I'm super grateful for that. I'm so grateful for that, because the minute something gets said out of turn, they have the ability to say, you know what, that's not cool, because my cousin is, or my aunt is, or, you know, they have that already there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something that I think more children need exposure to. While I think private schools can be good in a way, I think a lot of private schools are very much centered around specific races and specific types of people and specific religions.
Well, also income.
Yeah, yeah. And it's very hard to be able to teach diversity when all you see around you is the same type of people that you are.
Yeah.
Whether it's your own, whether it's the same color, whether it's the same religion, whether it's the same gender. And these schools don't offer the ability for kids to grow up in a more diverse atmosphere. And this is where we run into the snobbery, the I'm better than you are, and, you know, racism.
Yeah.
You know, on all ends.
Which still confuses me because even though the area that we live in particular doesn't have a lot of cultural diversity, the schools do because they really do try to keep the schools pretty even to a point. And yet we still see a lot of that coming through in parents and kids. And that's sad.
Yeah.
It makes me very sad because I have to work twice as hard. My kids know right from wrong. They know how to treat people. They don't truly doesn't matter what background or race or whatever, they just you treat people like people. But when they see it from their friends, that's confusing for them because their friend is really nice.
Yeah.
They're, you know, that's their friend. But why is their friend so mean to that kid? That's
yeah.
not okay. But so do I not like my friend now? Because I like my friend, you know? And all we can do is say, no, we just need to teach, you know, be the example.
Yeah.
Teach them the right way to be with people.
Yeah.
Because obviously they're not learning it at home.
And that's, yeah. And that's the issue that we have is that racism, sexism, and any type of what's the word I'm looking for?
Exclusion
or really any type of I just had it. I'm sorry.
Well,
it's been a long day.
So for me, the biggest issue in this area is actually for special needs kids.
Yeah.
I see a lot more intolerance of them.
Bigotry. That's the word I was looking for. I'm sorry. A lot of that and a lot of the intolerance and a lot of all of that is taught at home. Maybe not directly, but a lot of the times indirectly. When you say that, oh, you can't watch this certain type of program because it's a black program. You know, and that was one of the issues that I had growing up. You know, my parents hated the fact that I watched Fresh Prince of Bel-Air because it was a bunch of black people, but yet they loved watching The Cosby Show.
Whereas my parents were all about some Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
And see, I love the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I loved it. It's still one of my classic favorite TV shows. I literally fucking cried at the reunion. I'm
yes.
not gonna lie.
Yeah.
You
yes.
know, and the thing is it didn't. It taught more.
They hit some really hard.
They did. They hit some really hard subjects, especially about racism,
gun violence, and drugs.
Yeah, stuff like that. But they taught a lot of tolerance and a lot of love for your person,
yes.
not for your people.
Yeah.
And there's a big difference in that, you know. There's love for your person, no matter who they are. And love for your people, which are the people that are like you. And you can have both. And that's what shows like The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air taught us. You know, that you can love both. It's not one or the other.
I agree. We are 45 minutes in, and surprisingly, we are going to take a very short break as soon as my self claims that I was looking. There we go. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Down, it's just you and me. You cut me off and say you're tired of talking. Not as if we can't agree, but you've lost your will to fight. You're packing up all your things to leave, and these will be our last words. Then the chance will be lost, and I ain't too proud. If you love me, you would hold me. If you love me, you would tell me. You never want me to be alone. If you cared at all, you would stop and never go. But you just turn your back to me and say, I guess I do.
Everybody, we are live. If you'd like to call in, the number is 718-664-9735, and we are live on Facebook right now, so you can always interact with us there. We've been talking about back to school, but tonight we are actually also going to touch on another Tennessee case, which is kind of sad. I don't know what's going on with Tennessee right now. But the Summer Wells case that has been unfolding for over a month now, which is actually very surprising to me. It
doesn't seem to be making any progress.
There's no progress. It's very weird to me that there's zero clues. There's nothing.
Nope. Or at least none that they're telling us about.
Yeah. Nobody saw anything. She just disappeared, and that's so sad. Also, the fact that this case is so incredibly messy. It's gotten so much coverage through social media and social media crime talks and social media investigators and psychics. And this case is literally all over the place. I have not been able to wrap my head around a fact in weeks. It's so confusing, and there's so much
with contradictory.
Yeah.
It seems like within one statement you'll hear three things that seem to contradict themselves, and when you hear the interviewer ask for additional details or try to dig in, it seems to go a whole nother way. So there's
I don't know what
just
to believe
weird.
Anymore.
Yeah,
you know, when
it was weird.
To what led up to the moment of her alleged disappearance, and I'm going to say that because we just don't know now. We've heard different stories from Candace, who's mom. We've heard different stories from Allie, who was at some point a friend. From her son, Hunter, there's different stories coming out. From Grandma, there's different stories coming out, and I'm so sorry, but Donald Wells, please stay off social media. Mm-hmm. That man cannot keep his mouth shut, and it just makes everything look worse because he doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
This
is rambling.
Yeah.
Right.
So we know that at 6:30 p.m. on June 15th, 2021, Summer was reported missing to the Hawkins County Sheriff's Office. What we know or have heard is that at 5:30 on June 15th, Summer was planting flowers apparently with Grandma and Mom about 20 feet from her family's house on Ben Hill Road in unincorporated community of Beach Creek. Her dad was supposed to be at work. I don't know if that's been confirmed. She reportedly went inside, told her brothers that she wanted to play with her toys in the basement, and then when Mom went in, Summer was nowhere to be found. Then she reported her missing at 6:30, so that's on an hour where we've been told that they were looking for her.
On the property.
On the property, and had contacted neighbors to help look for her. On midnight of the next day, the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation released an endangered child alert. Then they changed that to an Amber Alert the next day at 11 a.m. is when they changed it to an Amber Alert. Amber Alerts are reserved for most serious missing children's cases where they feel like they are in imminent danger, which I would agree. 4 p.m. that day, Sheriff's Office and TBI held the first of several news conferences updating the public on search efforts. They'd received about 30 tips at that point. By the next day, around 1 p.m., search teams said steep and dangerous terrain, including dense canopy coverage, ground cover, were hampering their efforts. There was no cell phone service, which was making it difficult for them to communicate with each other. So they kind of scaled back that part of the search and were asking anybody in the area to search their trail cams, surveillance footage, outbuildings, or any sign of Summer. Also really weird, we have so many times been able to catch something in ring cameras. In the area that they're living, I could definitely see trail cams being used, things, but nobody saw anything. On the 18th, her father spoke to media outlets for the first time, saying he was at work when Summer went missing. And that when he got home, he drove to the bottom of the property, realized that all the neighbors were coming to the woods looking for her, and realized right then and there she was not here. Because she would never leave there on her own. Somebody had taken her. And that's something that he has said multiple times. He has made strange references to Mexico and sex trafficking, and has told us several times he believes she's dead. June 19th, photographs of the property and house were shared on social media. And I will say this. I watched an interview with Candace with Chris from the interview room. I do not have an opinion on Chris or the interview room either way. I'm not overly familiar with him, but I did watch most of that interview. And I have struggled since day one to, because unfortunately we have to look at parents first. There's been so much in the last few years where it's, that's who we look at.
Right.
And in the beginning, I would have said wholeheartedly that mom did something. But I just don't know now. I will say this, though. If the basement is truly where Summer was sleeping, and he took a tour of the house. The living conditions that those kids were in was 100% unacceptable.
Right.
It was horrid looking. I didn't even recognize that as a house when they were sharing pictures. I really thought that was a shed.
Yeah, it looks more like an outbuilding kind of thing.
Yeah. Which confuses me as to the idea of a basement in said house. Still confused with the setup there. We do know that the boys have been removed. No explanation as to why the DCS doesn't talk about those things, and that's fine. Probably the best thing for them right now. I truly do not have the ability to make an opinion on mom and dad right now. Because I don't know if it's an educational gap or drugs or alcohol or depression.
Or just a regional.
Right. Mom thing. Comes off really weird.
Mm-hmm.
She does.
She does. Yeah.
Grandma's, my biggest thing is if my child is missing, the only thing you would see from me day and night on social media is please and flyers and constantly putting her face out there. And there was some social media activity on TikTok, and
using that as an outlet to help find your child is one thing, but using it as a
as entertainment 24 hours later,
right.
I don't agree with that.
But we all cope differently.
We do. My biggest issue is the contradicting stories between Hunter and Candace.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter being a 15-year-old that for whatever reason she spur of the moment decided that he needed to go with them for the day, and she has said that there was no plans of going swimming that day. Again, weird because Summer had a swimsuit.
Yeah, she said she put her in the swimsuit because it was hot, which is just weird.
Doesn't make sense.
But then Hunter's story too was that they were going to go fishing, but then there was talks about going to a water park. And then they changed their minds for whatever reason, and then put her in the tracksuit or the little
pants. Yeah, she said she was cold, even though it was hot outside.
Yeah, I mean,
so she changed her.
There's a lot of contradictory stories, and I'm with you. I don't understand the relationship with an adult female and
a
15-year-old boy who I don't think is related.
He's not.
Okay.
So Allie seems to be somebody that, I don't know how long they've known her, but what I've read is that things started getting pretty messy when she came around and they got close, and that you could kind of see a huge change in Candace's demeanor the more she was around. Still don't quite understand the relationship between Candace and Hunter, only because he has completely thrown her under the bus. And I'm sure it's at mom's behest. But there's been a lot of back and forth between the three of them. As far as drugs, drug dealers, giving a 15-year-old alcohol.
Okay.
Did Summer go under the water at some point,
right,
and struggle, and Hunter grabbed her, or did that not, that never happened.
Right.
There's got to be some truth in there somewhere.
Exactly. Yeah, and I can't imagine as an adult female having a 15-year-old boy tag along for anything.
The only reason it happens here is because we do tend to take in kids without families. And
right.
So when I go to the grocery store, that's usually the extent of it. And let's face it, I don't really do shit. But when I go somewhere, in general, at least two kids go with me, and that includes one of the bigger boys and one of the littles.
You have your children with you also, though.
Yes. And typically, if one of the older boys goes, my oldest goes. Has it ever happened that an older kid goes with me and nobody else goes? If I have to go to the gas station or I got to go to the grocery store? Yeah, because quite frankly, they are here 90% of the time and this is their family, so it's not weird.
Right.
It's not weird. That story, though, is weird. And the fact that he was going through her phone and then questioning her as to why her husband was calling her. I don't understand it.
No, the whole thing is there's something about it. There's no way that's like a normal situation.
No, and it's frustrating more because TBI has not come out. They've come out and squashed some rumors, but they've not given us anything. And you cannot tell me they've not gotten anything out of these people. These people are not smart enough to hide a whole ass crime. They're not. I'm sorry. And this is a very sketch situation anyway, because then we learn about 2 weeks into the situation about Candace's sister, Rose,
mm-hmm.
who also disappeared without a trace 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't not count that into the situation because it is weird. And then she didn't even know she had other kids. Did not know besides the three boys in summer that she had other kids. And she does. She has an older son and an older daughter who were both taken
mm-hmm.
by the state and then placed up for adoption and have lived completely different lives.
Right.
And then we've got the stories about Donald, who
yeah.
tried to give his kids to a drug dealer.
Right. And I didn't...
None of that ties in? What?
Hmm?
All of this bullshit outside of the pie?
If it walks like a duck.
Has nothing to do with the pie?
You know, it's been said, why do they still have custody of their children? Why didn't DCS intervene? And I heard, you know, they didn't have enough to take them. I find that hard to believe.
They've taken them for less.
Right.
They've taken kids for less.
And they've had multiple interactions with Department of Children's Services, DCS.
And that leads, you know, that's another odd point because my understanding is DCS was supposed to come that day.
Oh,
the same day
that
summer disappeared.
Oh.
And then I think a week ago they took the boys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Donald says it was for the boys' protection. I personally have never heard of DCS stepping in because of social media issues.
No.
Anybody who's on social media and has any kind of platform, which they do right now because they are center of everybody's mind, many people have gotten death threats. DCS doesn't take their kids for that.
Right.
You send them to family. You go away for a little bit. You get police protection.
Right.
We don't just get our kids taken for that. So that, to me, is not true. I'm sure they have plenty of reasons to take those kids at this point.
Well, and, you know, you mentioned just their behavior since the disappearance. I can't imagine as a grandparent going away to another state or leaving my daughter's side when something like that was happening,
and
you know.
She did, didn't she?
Didn't she go out of state? Like,
that's what I had heard, and there was a lot of speculation because most of us know about the Gannon Stouch case and how horrible that was, but that stepmom left the area when he disappeared and shouldn't have, and we end up finding his body hundreds of miles away, dumped somewhere, and that was the worry. You know, I hope that they were smart enough to keep tabs on these people and knew where she was going and followed her, because we did just see that happen in a case. But we got updates a lot from Colorado. They talked
right.
to us. Tennessee has been very close-mouthed about this case since probably the middle of July, I would say. I really feel like it's been a couple weeks before we've gotten any good updates about
right.
summer.
Right.
You know, have we just completely given up searching? I know that there was EquiSearch, maybe a week and a half ago, deciding to have to go back out there and search again, see if they could find clues. I don't know that they found anything. I know that Donald freaked out on him and told him to get off his property, and it was just very weird.
Well, and then there's that whole phone call that Donald supposedly called Candace while they were out that day and said there were people on the property that were there to touch the children or something.
Yeah.
With some, I mean, it's like he was at work. The kids were supposed to, the boys were supposed to be with him, but then they were at home, which is a whole other weird story.
So we don't take our kids to a water park?
And and then, you know, if he wasn't at home, how did he know this? Unless they had cameras up. I find that hard to believe.
And if they had cameras up, then why wouldn't we see what happened somewhere?
Exactly. So there's just a lot of, so many inconsistencies. I can't imagine how even the police are able to piece things together just because none of it makes sense.
I think from the beginning, but I hate to say it, but I think the outset of handling the case was kind of a dumpster truck.
Mm-hmm.
Because immediately they should have probably separated the boys, Candace and Don, and Grandma, and pushed. Because, again, somebody said something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe those boys didn't see anything.
Well, and one other thing I just remembered that I had heard on the interview that Candace did, and that was that when she realized Summer was missing, she immediately picked up her phone and called her husband to let him know, then walked to her mother's house to call the police because they have sketchy service. And I was like,
But you called your husband.
Why can't you call the police in that same spot?
And you actually probably get better service calling 911 than your husband, who's supposed
right.
to be miles and miles away.
Right. I mean, there's just a lot of things that I'm like, I have a lot more questions than I have answers.
There's zero answers.
And I'm assuming, I mean, obviously the police know what they're doing and they're able to investigate further, and I'm sure they have more information.
They've got to have more.
But how do we not have any, I don't know. I just, it's mind-blowing and it's disturbing.
It is, and we've had so many of these cases that the baby that disappeared in Tennessee before the pandemic, and Grandpa, I think his grandpa ended up reporting her missing because he hadn't seen her in months. The whole family lived on one property, and they ended up finding her in a tote in a shed.
Oh, yeah.
And Mom was very unemotional and a little distanced from reactions, like when reporters talked to her, things like that. She was very just kind of out of it. So she couldn't do a lie detector test because she was pregnant, and then it comes out that they never even asked her to do a lie detector. Like, she was just very weird through the whole thing. Lied multiple times. That was why she initially got arrested, was for lying to police. Could never produce her kid, obviously. So I don't know what is, again, I don't know what is happening in Tennessee, but the kinds of cases we see, kids disappear, and that's horrible, and we see it all over the country, and we know that. But what we've seen here in the last few years with kids and parents being responsible in some way or another for what has happened to them is disgusting.
Agreed.
I've honestly never lived in a state where I've seen so much horrific child abuse. And I've lived in some pretty shitty areas. Horrible. I've seen a lot of drug addict parents that treated their kids well. I just have never been surrounded by so many horrible parents in one state. Sorry, I don't hate Tennessee. All the way.
Well, and part of that could just be where you're at when you're here, because things are more publicized now than they used to be, obviously, with social media and all the news outlets that we have now. And I feel like drugs are definitely more prevalent. There's definitely a difference in parenting now than when we were kids. And I think our perspective as parents now is different than probably what it was when we were younger.
I'm very, very much
much more judgmental than
yes. I don't look at my child when we are in public because I will throw a can at you.
Right.
Just don't. I think one thing though that really bothers me is we looked at the property. We saw the property in the interview. The trailer, grandma's trailer in the house, if that's what we're going to call it, were like 20 feet apart.
Mm-hmm.
Behind the house was woods. In front of the house was the road. How did this kid disappear into what had to have been a car and nobody saw a car? And we heard a car. I mean, I don't know about anybody else. I've lived in the country.
You hear all the cars.
And on a gravel road, you know what a car sounds like. You
right.
know when somebody's flying out of there with your kid. Because that car's moving quickly. It's throwing things up. You could hear it. And searchers weren't able to get around the property very well. And my understanding is that the dog's scent ended at the road,
mm-hmm.
which Donald says means somebody took her. However, how? How did a car go there and nobody saw it or heard it? That is one of my biggest issues with whether or not they're involved, because you had three boys, grandma, mom, all there. Even if the boys were in the house, it wasn't a very big house.
Right.
So you can't tune in when I heard a car.
Not well insulated.
Right. You didn't hear anything? Little girl didn't scream? Nothing?
So I was listening to another interview today, and it was with a behavioral health or psychologist, and she was saying in watching some of the videos of Summer, like at church and things like that that her mom had posted, that she wondered if she had some sort of autism or some sort of disorder that caused her to be more friendly with people than she should be, not understand boundaries, those kind of things, which would make her more susceptible to being picked up by a random stranger or by someone that she knew and shouldn't have gone with.
I have a very hard time believing this is a stranger abduction.
Right.
If it is an abduction, it would have to have been somebody that they know.
Right.
It's coming from my own psychology background. I actually would say, because I've dealt with kids like Summer, are very needy in affection.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't necessarily that way with her own family.
Mm-hmm.
She was very much that way with teachers.
Right.
And it's because she's not getting that same kind of attention at home. And little kids know who the mommies are.
Right.
They know who's got open arms and who's going to hug them. And once they find that person or those people, those are who they're going to gravitate to, because they're always going to get that hug and they're always going to get that love. When I taught Head Start, that was a lie. I taught Head Start too. When I taught Head Start, I had one little girl in class that would not, she never left my side. She's not overly affectionate. She wouldn't speak to anybody else. She's four. She would talk to anybody. She would cry if I left more than 3 feet from her.
Mm-hmm.
She was in my lap constantly. We did stations. She was at my station because she wasn't going to go anywhere else. And it was because she lived in a very abusive home where maybe they didn't abuse her, but mom and dad were very toxic to each other. And at school, she had somebody that made her feel safe.
Right.
And so I don't know that it's necessarily that she was autistic or that she had any type of...
Learning
impairment or,
right.
or any kind of disorder. It could have just been that she was neglected and she knew at church those people loved her.
Right. Yeah, well, and that wasn't the only reason for the doctor to give that potential diagnosis. The twirling and the tippy toes, and there were a lot of other things that she gave also in that, you know, reasoning. It was a logical rationale how we got there, but it was an interesting take on it. They also, we were talking about, you know, not being a stranger abduction, being someone she knew, and my mind immediately goes back to that Hunter kid,
mm-hmm.
because again, the adult relationship with a child is weird. but a 15-year-old boy having that kind of, I don't want to say attraction, but that kind of
familiarity.
Yes, maybe that's, yeah, a little too familiar in my opinion. I know there are some 15-year-old boys who are perfectly great kids who would want to interact and play with a younger
child. He comes off sketchy.
But he doesn't come off as that warm brother kind of kid,
no.
In my opinion.
No, and I don't think either
watching
those,
that interview was like,
when we look
mm-hmm.
at both families are a mess.
Yeah.
It's a mess, the whole thing. And
this is the pot calling the kettle black, but
I mean, look, my family's a mess too, but I mean, we're not out killing babies, so there's that.
Yeah.
When you watch the interview with Hunter, you can plainly see Allie coaching him from the side. And that bothers me
mm-hmm.
because that's not honesty.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't even know what the truth is coming from Hunter because mom's right here pushing the answer the way she's telling him to answer.
Mm-hmm.
What does that even mean? Really gives a lot of doubt in my mind as to Allie and Hunter's involvement in whatever is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Is she trying to keep him from getting in trouble and herself from being in trouble for allowing whatever conspired between the group? Or she's, you know, we've all heard that she's accused Candace of giving him alcohol. I'm sorry, call me judgmental, but I look at mom and think she's probably done it too.
Right.
That
wasn't his first encounter.
If he was comfortable enough to ask for it.
Yeah, it wasn't a new thing. Yeah.
And we would all be remiss in thinking that 15-year-old would never have a drink. The reality, though, is that they've used that one statement so many times to throw at Candace that, oh my God, I don't know. It's such a mess. We've heard so many things. We've got reports now that, you know, Don's stepsisters have come forward and said that he's a sexual predator, that his son is a registered sex offender. I just feel like there's too many checks to mark off to say that they're not involved in this.
Yeah, it all adds up a little too easily.
Yeah.
You know?
There's so many, and I feel bad because there have been moments that I've looked at Candace and thought, she just looks exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
She looks exhausted and sad. And so.
But I don't know that that's any different from how she looked before.
Right. Honestly. She also looks high.
Yeah.
Honest, 90% of the time, I can't tell if she's sober or that's really just what her face looks like. And I know, that sounds mean. I don't care. I'm just saying, though, like, I have watched this woman on camera probably 500 times since Summer went missing, and her face always looks the same. She doesn't show true emotion at any time.
Mm-hmm.
At some point in a month and a half, you would think that something would start coming forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not seeing it.
Right. And again, that could just be her personality. I imagine as rough as that family looks, that there has probably been some trauma in her past, which has caused her to lose affect and lose that ability to have normal facial expressions.
I would think so. I know that there's a lot of, from her mouth to her daughter, her older daughter, I know that she was a heavy drug user at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know, I would hope, it's common sense, at some point drugs do begin to take its effect on your brain. They do.
Right.
You are very blessed and lucky if you get sober and you are the same person you were before you started taking drugs. Because
absolutely.
Most people are not.
Yeah.
It just changes who you are. But I don't even know what to say. Like, I really wanted to go into this and be like, this is why I think they're guilty. This is why I think they're innocent. And I'm no closer a month and a half of watching videos and interviews and press releases to knowing what the fuck happened. But I'm just going to have, like, I can't not think that they were involved.
Yeah.
I just think it's too easy. And why her?
Well, and that's the thing, too. I could see the easiest, I can see this being a situation that a true accident happens and they are trying to cover it up. like, I can't imagine this was a willful and intentional thing, because they talk about, you know, all these other children that they have, and it's not like they talk about her as being the problem child or, you know, whatever. They talk about, and they show videos of her being sweet and whatever. So I can't imagine it was an intentional act if something bad has happened to her by the family.
Maybe not my mom.
Right.
I can't say that about Dad. I don't. My understanding is he seems to be a kind of controlling and abusive. But we don't hear a lot of good about Donald. The worst we've heard about Candace is her past. And she's neglectful in taking care of them as far as hygiene and things like that. But never heard anybody say she's abusive.
Right.
That is, out of all the things I've heard, that has not been one of them, that she was a mean parent or that she hit them.
And do you think if it was him, if it was Donald, I have trouble believing that the entire rest of the family would go along with whatever story he's concocted, or they don't know.
I would have to say they wouldn't know, because there's still been no proof that Donald was at work.
Right.
And the first time that Donald got in trouble years ago, he was hiding in a shed
right.
when they came looking for him. He has a shed on the property right now that apparently nobody's allowed to go into. I'm sure the police have, but I'm saying, like, that day, is it possible that he was in that shed?
And no one saw his vehicle? I mean, I guess. I don't know.
Who knows? Who knows? Yeah. I'm sure living, it's 11 acres.
Yeah.
So living out there, and that's his, I believe, his family's property, I would think that he would know it pretty well.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. More than searchers would know it.
It's insane, like you said, that, I mean, there's just, the more you listen and the more you read and the more you try to find out, it's like, the more questions you have, you just can't get past the, to the answer stage.
Yeah, I think if they suspect Donald in any way, we've all seen it through his Facebook posts, like, getting truth out of him would be impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Because as far as he's concerned, he's some strange Christian who isn't a Christian.
Right.
Like, I don't think that he would speak up easily.
And the more he talks, the more he seems to, I don't want to say incriminate himself, but he definitely doesn't help his case at all.
No, he just can't shut his mouth, man.
Can't get out of his way.
He managed to spend 24 hours off of social media when they told him to stay off of social media and then dove right in at first.
Well, and obviously he's there for the attention, or he would have made his Facebook page private by now.
Which I think Candace did.
Oh, did she?
I think so. I mean, you don't see a whole lot on her page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. She did.
Yeah. I believe she may have done the same with her TikTok. I think those are the only two social medias that she had. And, of course, you know, me being me, when this first happened, of course I went and looked them both up. Because
mm-hmm.
I do it on a lot of crime cases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I can see the name, the full name, I'll go look them up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. I know. I'm nosy. It's what I do. Because I want to know, man. Is there signs here? Like, did we see something? Did people
right.
miss something? I'm not out to solve the case because I'm not that smart. But I love watching people on Facebook who think that they're going to solve the case and that the police haven't already thought of every single question that they have. Because, you know, the police are idiots. We don't have a whole FBI presence happening right now.
But this,
you know, these people go to college for these things.
Jane Doe on Facebook knows way more than that person here.
I'm so glad you're here to solve the case. Stupid cops. I'm joking. I'm sorry. And then, you know, then you bring in the psychics.
Oh, gosh.
The largest one, of course, being Juanita.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched her.
I haven't brought myself to watch it yet.
So I watched her arrival to the area.
Was she invited by the family or?
No, she was invited by somebody else, somebody in the town, I believe.
Okay.
And so she arrived and definitely, it was weird.
Is it more show?
She went to, I think so. She went, so she did go to the swimming hole. And from what I remember, it sounded like she believed some were drowned that day.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people went into this whole thing of the picture of Summer because, you know, people would be that stupid. The picture of Summer in the back seat sleeping on the milk was
mm-hmm.
really her dad because we would post that on Facebook.
Right.
Come on. Candace might not be the smartest cookie in the jar, but I don't think she would do that.
Yeah.
Even that. Come on.
Yeah.
Unless, I mean, she would have to really be thinking out, like, how am I going to not incriminate myself right now
right.
and save face so that I can go dump my kid's body.
Right.
And that sounds harsh, but I don't, that's what's been out there on Facebook land, and I don't see that with her. I don't see a lot with her, but I don't see violence with her. I don't see her having
being
the
malicious.
Ability to do, even if it was an accident, to not come forth and say,
mm-hmm.
like, not break at some
right.
point.
Right. Because if your child accidentally drowns right there in front of you, of course you're going to call the police. I mean, that would be your reaction, would it not?
Why would your
first reaction be,
let's throw her in the car and go shopping.
Yeah, let's go hide this. No, that seems really far-fetched. But, I mean, people have done crazier things. So.
Now, the other theory mm-hmm. is that she did go under the water that day. She was
mm-hmm.
fine. She came out and dry drowning happened, which is possible. And trust me, as a parent, every time my kids get in the pool, because all of y'all assholes with your theories out there, I am constantly worried about it all summer. Thanks. Every time. So, I mean, I suppose it could happen, but again, she has three sons, and I would think that somebody would have seen something.
Right.
The only person possible in all of this scenario, okay, two people, in all of this scenario who possibly could have wrapped her up and done something would be Dad or Hunter. But I'm not out here accusing some 15-year-old kid of killing her. I'm just saying, for looking at opportunity and the ability to do it with literally nobody seeing them on a property where the road is right there and the house is 20 feet from the other house.
Well, but I did see an interview with, I can't remember which one it was. I think it was one of the ones that Candace did. And, I mean, just talking about the number of strangers that have been allowed to come onto the property and stay, I don't know what format. I don't know if it was camping or whatever. I don't know if it was camping or they had their own RV or in with grandma or whatever, but I heard an interview where she talked about, you know, oh, that was so-and-so's friend and they came over and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking how many of those instances have happened and one of those people could potentially have come back.
You better make a whole list. Like, you better write down every vehicle. And that is my thing, though. There's just the lack of
protection.
Well, protection and what is the word? Like wanting to get things done.
Right.
Like I'd be making list upon list upon list of
mm-hmm.
every person that has come in contact with my kids in their
yep.
entire life. And this is what they drive and this is where they live. And you go find out if they have my kids.
This is the person I dated in kindergarten.
Yeah. Yes. Like,
boy, I had a crush on and you need to go talk to him.
Find my fucking kid.
Yeah.
I would be losing my mind.
Right.
I have a hard time letting my kids play out in the front yard for 5 minutes without me up checking out the window to make sure that they're there and they're okay.
Right.
I would be insane. You think I'm insane when I lose my keys and I'm frantically searching around my house? Can't even imagine if it was one of my kids.
But again, we have a different view or ability to parent. Maybe, you know, she doesn't have.
Has there been any interviews with grandma?
Not that I've seen.
And that's weird too.
And that, yeah.
If we look at parenting and questioning Candace and questioning her ability to take care of her kids and the situation, and grandma was apparently there that day, so why haven't we heard anything from her?
And has she, I mean, I assume she's been interviewed by the police.
I would assume so.
I would assume so. And like I said, the fact that she just took off like immediately to go help some sick family member. I can't imagine a situation where I would be like, oh yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to leave and go take care of so-and-so in another state, you know, to let finding my grandkid.
So that to me is extra suspect. We don't know anything about grandma. We know nothing about grandma. We know nothing about how she lived there. her relationship with the kids, her relationship with Candace and Dawn. We know nothing about her.
It was one theory proposed was that Grandma left with Summer's body.
Yes, and dumped her along the way.
Along the way. But I can't imagine that that's...
I would think, though, that cadaver dogs would have had to have picked up on that, though.
Exactly.
Had to have. If, I don't know when they brought them out, though. I don't know if they brought cadaver dogs. I know they brought hounds out to follow her scent, but I don't know if they brought cadaver dogs, which may, again, be another drop in the ball. But, and that's the frustration. Like, I searched today forever for just an update and a timeline. Like, a full timeline of who had been interviewed, what day they were interviewed, what dogs were brought out, what searches happened. You know, there's so little in the actual media that it's incredibly frustrating and disturbing.
Well, and it may be because the police are withholding all of that specific detail for a reason.
I hope. I know with Gannon's story, they did the same thing to a point. Oh, it was very frustrating watching those interviews happen with stepmom and dad and mom, and we weren't hearing anything, but we had an idea, obviously, and then it was like all the information just got dumped all at once, and while she sits in acting like a lunatic, the evidence is very there. And that was the difference, though. Like, they found evidence, clear evidence, very quickly with Gannon that contradicted what was put out to the news when when the Amber Alert went out.
Right.
So evidence was immediately found. I don't even know if they take... Typically, in these cases, we know when they're taking evidence from a home. I don't even know if we've seen that.
Right. Well, didn't they say, though, they did... Didn't they confirm that the dad, Don, was at work?
I don't know if it was confirmed. Dad, Don said he was at work, but I don't know if it was confirmed that he was actually out of the area.
Oh, yeah, because he was... He does drywall or something?
Yeah.
So he could have been...
He could have been anywhere.
Anywhere. And more than likely, if it was residential or... commercial, nobody was in the building.
Yeah.
It'd be easy to sneak away. And I don't know how far away he was.
I don't know. My understanding is that he owns his own business, but that he apparently seems to be well enough to stay busy at. So I still don't understand how they're living the way they are.
Because it's all been on extracurricular activities.
That's my thought, you know. And they've had problems with drug dealers in the past, and so obviously a giant, and that would definitely hinder the ability to get a suspect, because are you really going to give up your drug dealer?
No.
And hope not. The death threats that they're receiving, I would assume, aren't coming from the public.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I would doubt it. I mean, I don't know. There's crazies. The whole thing just makes me have a headache.
It's so confusing. I wanted to do this case because I think it's important to get her name out there and not let her get lost in the cold case files, because I think that's shitty. But there is no path to follow with the Wells. There's no clear path. When it all started, the church was like all up their ass and had all the support in the world, and then suddenly there was no support again. So what changed there? Like, how can one couple have so much shit going on around them and we can't find nothing? Nothing? Nothing. Nothing in all of the crap that is their life.
It does make you question a lot of things, because you see good people have bad things happen to them and it fall back on them, and then you have bad people that have bad things happen that never falls back on them. I don't know. Just rely on karma.
I'm so confused. I truly hope that they find Summer. I unfortunately, you know, we are a month and a half into this. It's highly unlikely that she's coming home safe and happy, which is very sad. But I do hope that they find her and some closure happens
mm-hmm.
and answers happen and the people that are responsible are held responsible. And I think that's very important. I am not going to pass judgment on anybody today. I do have to say that they are probably involved in some way. They know more than what they are saying,
mm-hmm.
at the very least.
Too many inconsistencies in the stories for there not to be some inside involvement.
Somebody knows something, and at some point, somebody is going to slip up, whether that's Crazy Daddy on his Facebook rants or one of the kids.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that's why they took the boys. Maybe they can get more out of a forensic interview that way. Because I would assume that Don's probably a pretty imposing character and trying to talk to kids with him around, no matter what the truth is, would be a little threatening.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they had, an hour at least alone with the children before the police were called.
Mm-hmm.
So that's enough time to get stories straight.
Yeah.
And scare little children.
I really do hope that they find her. You know, they've got, I think one of her boys is turning 13, so
mm-hmm.
he's old enough to
mm-hmm.
to speak on anything that happens in the house.
I'm old enough to know the difference in right and wrong. And
I personally would be tearing that shack apart for any sense of evidence, because that downstairs looks like a dungeon.
Yeah.
It is so dark and scary looking. At I can't imagine putting my 5-year-old down there to sleep.
No, there's no way. But, I mean, yeah, I can't imagine any of that house being inhabited by one of my children.
Yeah. When Chris was walking through there with Candace, I was shocked. I honestly did not think that was their house.
Mm-mm.
I could have pictured a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't judgy. I could have pictured a trailer on that property, judging by what Grandma. I did not think, that looks like 4 pieces of plywood and a roof.
Mm-hmm.
It.
And I know what you said, it's 11 acres and, you know, it's bad terrain and all that kind of stuff, but they've searched the entire property at this point, right?
Oh yeah. Like, they've done so many acres.
That's good.
I believe,
I can remember
this timeline. It might be. But I know, you know, obviously they were looking. They still have not found the driver of the truck, by the way. So, because that was the only clue that they had. Was that there was like a red Toyota. And that has, we're 6 weeks in, that has never been found, which in that area of that area, it would probably be a local. So that's also weird. But I know that they, and it doesn't say in here, but they searched well over 11 acres, well over that. They searched that entire area.
Mm-hmm. Beyond what they owned.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. And have they searched that lake in that area? Like,
I don't know.
I
would
have heard any
about
divers or anything if that was an area that they had been at recently.
I don't know. I know that one of the guys, I want to say maybe the guy that was with Juanita, maybe it was a different guy. I don't watch so many interviews.
Oh, yeah. That's the other piece you didn't get to finish, the whole Juanita thing. So that was just like.
She has been in the area now. I mean, she's been around for a few weeks now. Has tried to go on to their property multiple times. Don has chased her off. Just says he doesn't want her help. Thinks she's the devil. And I'm not saying psychic ability is not out there. I'm not saying it is. You believe what you want. There have been many instances where cases have been solved with the help and aid of psychics. So I don't know Juanita's story. I don't know. There's back and forth on her reliability. But, you know, she had a lot going on there at the swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where a lot of the summer drowned that day theory came in, is because she kept saying that she was cold and it was wet and mommy was mad.
Mm-hmm.
So in what she puts out there was put it on Candace. And I still, my mom gut still says, I don't think Candace did it.
Mm-hmm.
I could be completely wrong. And when I am, I mean, it's whatever. I'm not going to feel bad. But.
Yeah, it's like, is that just not being able to believe that as a mother or looking at the facts or the situation and saying, no, I don't think so. It's kind of hard because it
honestly,
meshes together.
Honestly, walks around like a cough. I don't really see a whole lot of anger and like,
right.
Like forward thought process
mm-hmm.
happening.
Right.
And I'm not saying there's anything wrong. I don't know. I don't know what to say without sounding offensive. Okay. She looks dumb. Sorry. But again, that lends to her innocence because I don't see her having the ability to think forward enough to do something to her, create a story, hide her.
Yeah, plan all that out. Yeah.
I don't see that. And if she did, she would have had to have involved Hunter. He's a 15-year-old kid. I don't care how hard he is. I don't care what kind of drugs he's done. I don't care how much alcohol he drinks. He's a 15-year-old kid. And they're not that smart.
No.
He would break. He would not be able to hold the secret
right.
for long. I mean, I've seen interrogations. They would break him.
Right.
I don't think Juanita's theory is true.
Right.
I do think she probably, because now she's gotten in the way enough that the sheriff's office has had to come out and say, she is not with us.
Mm-hmm.
We are not asking her for help. We're not using her. So I think it's time for her to step away.
Right.
And go.
Don't block the investigation.
Yeah.
Right. Were there other psychics or was that the only?
There's a lot of psychics that have, I don't know if they've gone to the area. I think a couple have, but most of them are like social media psychics who have done readings and, my opinion on that is it's really great if it's true, but in my experience, in order to read energies and the likes, you sort of need to be in the area.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Gonna help.
I don't understand. Like, unless you have the ability to speak to people on the other side,
right?
And they can tell you what happened and where it happened, which. It's not like they're forming full-length sentences and writing a book. I feel like that's probably not, we shouldn't be listening to them.
Well, at this point, enough information has been put out there that people can form theories and give just enough detail to seem credible to those that haven't heard any of the interviews and stories.
Because people rely on that stuff. It's easy.
Right.
It's easy to be like, well, I heard psychic Jasmine said, she's in, you know, the woods right there, and they're just not looking.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why don't you
grasp it some more straws so you have
to
pop around.
And go search yourself and then prove it's all wrong.
Right.
I don't think if she's on the property, it's closer to the house. That is my theory, and I am not a psychic. But I think that they have exhausted the search in the woods. She would either be at the house or the swing hole because the swing hole is somewhere that they're familiar with and it's a whole other set of woods.
Mm-hmm. And it looked like a pretty big area.
Yeah.
And she, is it like a state park or something?
I don't know. From what Candace has said, for the most part, there's never anybody there.
Right.
So it's probably just woods
mm-hmm.
and an area near town that they have found that they would swim in. Now, I've seen people go out there that have said, I don't know why you would have let your kids swim here because it's disgusting. But
most
they lived differently than we did.
Right.
And were accustomed to doing things differently than we are. Obviously, she, to her credit, her kids were exposed to normal things that us as kids were exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many muddy creeks I swam in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure I would probably walk up to St. Muddy Creek today and be like, there's no fucking way my kids are swimming
right.
in that.
Right.
So that's a little too judgy for me. The water didn't look that bad that Summer was swimming in. She wasn't coming up covered in mud
right.
that I saw. So it couldn't have been that bad. I wouldn't necessarily swim in any water in Tennessee, but that's just me.
Well, and you know, the fact that she did those kind of activities, that was a normal thing for them to go swimming and,
yes, and fishing,
planting
and outdoor shit,
garden or the plants and all that kind of, I mean, just stuff like that says that she was an involved parent, maybe as much as she could be.
Yeah, she
maybe
did what she wasn't lovey-dovey and sweet,
right.
And obviously she's a little more tomboyish than most Tennessee moms, but I can't really hold that against her. I mean,
yeah,
she is who she is. I think her reactions are weird to the situation, but I also can't judge that because I have no idea how I would be.
Yeah.
I could sit here and say I'd be hysterical and would be screaming from the rooftop, but I also might just shut down,
yeah,
and not know what to do.
Yeah, we don't know how we'll react unless we're in that situation. God forbid, and hopefully never have to be.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's just extremely sad, and hopefully they have some sort of break soon. I mean,
I would like to see something.
Almost 2 months out now.
Yeah,
just
something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a person of interest, because right now the latest I've heard is that everybody is a person of interest still. It's not helpful.
No.
It's not helping anything.
No.
And we stopped talking about the truck. When it wasn't found, we stopped talking about it. If that was the only vehicle in the area, then who did it belong to? Why would we stop talking about it?
So was it just, who spotted it in the area? That's...
No idea. The only thing that I heard was that they were looking for said truck because they could have been in the area at the time of the abduction and they weren't a person of interest. They just wanted to know what they saw.
Just big enough.
Yeah. And then the truck was never found and nobody knows anything else.
Right.
I don't know. Y'all keep your kids close. People are weird. That's all I can say. Just keep your kids close. Even at the end, or what people are saying are the end of, you know, COVID days, I'm still very careful. Tennessee in particular, I don't know about other states because I'm not there, but Tennessee has become a hotspot for child abduction or attempted child abduction or sex trafficking.
Well, and with school starting back, you know, the whole stop, you know,
our
bus stop.
For Katie, I've never worried about my kids down there because there were just enough kids that I knew that they were not alone because Austin was there. Austin's other friends were there. Her friends were there. Unfortunately, my big kids are out of school. Her friends have moved. So I foresee myself sitting at the top of the road for a long time because they're all the way down at the road. My littles catch the bus up here while I don't know why they changed that for the high school kids. They catch the bus at the first stop sign. My kids are standing in the road.
Seems safe.
Yeah. And we've had many problems with people stopping and talking to them. So I will probably be sitting and watching them get on the bus. You know, go ahead and walk down there like big kids. That's fine. But I'm still going to be lurking from the shadows because I don't trust anybody.
No. And you don't know friends. Even people that you know are not necessarily a person you want to stop harms your child because
absolutely.
That's where that kind of stuff happens.
We have a very, very close-knit circle here in this house. Close enough that my kids know only 1, 2, 3, 4. There are 4 adults when we are not home that can be at our door.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's anybody else, you don't touch the door.
Mm-hmm.
Because we just don't deal with people enough that our circle is very wide, which I'm fine with because I know who lives around my kids. I think keep a close eye on your kids. Tennessee's getting a little scary. You know, we are very choosy now about what stores we go in. I don't go to the store at night anymore. Very rarely do I take both girls at the same time with me. And I know it sounds crazy and it sounds super anxious and helicopter mom, here I come. But that is where we live now.
Mm-hmm.
There have been people in parking lots in broad daylight that try to take people.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, I'm good. I only go to like one store, and they know me, and so I've never had a problem there. That's why I don't go anywhere else. I've gone to Target once by myself in the last 6 months, and had a van that kept following me as I was trying to find a place to park, and then parked directly across from me, and stayed there. And I sat in my car for like 15 minutes because I was just like, oh, that's weird. And then I never got out of the van. And then finally I was like, all right, well, I'm fucking mean. Like, I'm getting out of my car. I'm not sitting here like a victim.
Right.
So I got out of the car and I went in the store. And thankfully they were gone when I came out. But we can't continuously be the victim either. It's like a dog. If they know you're scared, they're going to jump.
Right.
And if you just get out and do your thing with protection, whatever protection that is, then don't be afraid. Don't come to Facebook when somebody stops you in a store and whine about it.
Right.
Take up a fucking can and throw it at them and yell and scream and make them aware of the fact that you see them. Don't, guys, don't be victims.
Right.
That's weird to me to see that so much on Facebook lately. Like, you get these people like, come on, like, I had the most terrifying experience at Walmart today. Why? Grab a glass jar.
You're in public. You're not in the middle of the woods.
There are people around you there. I will stand
make
up.
A scene.
Are they going to drag you out of there? Like, you're surrounded by people. Tell those people.
Yeah.
Tell everybody.
Right. Yeah. I agree wholeheartedly. But also, always be aware and cognizant of your surroundings.
Absolutely.
And don't
let...
sit with your head down, walking on your cell phone, going to your car, you know, leave your kid in the buggy while you load the groceries.
Yeah,
no.
And that's very true. I was at an appointment the other day. I typically, because it's downtown Knoxville, I lock my doors. It's right down by the Mission District. So I lock my door, roll my window up. It was hot as hell that day, though.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to waste my gas, so I turned the car off and I cracked the windows. At about an hour in, I was getting hot, so I turned the car on and I rolled my window down so I could smoke a cigarette because I was bored and I wasn't going to get out of the car. And I ended up I was watching TikTok. I mean, it was my fault, but ended up with somebody that came. I had watched them like a hawk because they circled my car once. And so, you know, I watched my mirrors and then they went away. And then I rolled my window down and smoked a cigarette and then they came up from behind. And it scared the shit out of me. And I yelled at him, and I was like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Don't sneak up on people, sir.
Yeah.
Because he wanted a cigarette. Cool. Here's a cigarette. Go on about your way.
Walk away. Walk to the front where I can see you.
He was like, sorry I scared you. No, you're not. No, you're not. Mm-hmm. And you knew what you were doing,
yeah.
And that's not okay, because that will get you shot.
Yeah. So I was just going to say, it's people carry weapons to defend themselves now. So, yeah.
And he was all over, like, he was there the whole time I was there. So he was all over the place, and, you know, he wasn't a bad person, but he caught me off guard, and then I felt uncomfortable for the rest of the time I was there.
Right.
So it was like, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I let my guard down with my windows open in this area.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Lesson learned. You won't do that next time.
Next time you're going to get punched in the face. Yeah, give me a scare. So she's right. Like, you know, listen to me and yell. Don't. And Dan tells me this all the time. You know, be aware of your surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
Be vigilant in who is around you and make sure that you're watching. Because, again, that is the world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
I have a 17-year-old daughter that can't go anywhere by herself because she's a girl, and I'm not going to do it.
Right. Well, and try not to go alone, you know, anywhere.
Yeah, you know,
after dark. If you do have to go after dark, make sure.
It's
well
even with my son. It's not just her. I have a 19-year-old son. When he goes out at night, you know, let me know where you're going. Let me know when you get there. I'm not going to ask you to call me the whole time you're there. But
right.
You got there. You're fine. You're leaving now on your way home so that I know
right.
There's a timeline and I know where you're at. And everybody should do that. I do that with our grown-ups. Let me know when you get home. Because if I don't hear from you and something happens, I have no idea where you could have been.
Right. Well, and that's what I used to tell my youngest. I was like, I don't care. I will not chastise you for where you're going as long as you're honest with me. Because if you lie to me about where you're going, then I don't know where to have them start searching for your body.
Yeah.
So be honest with me. We'll talk about it.
And I will say my oldest is really good about that. When plans change,
yep.
He's pretty good about texting me and saying, hey, we're going to go grab a bite to eat here. and or we decided not to do that. We're just going to stay here and chill out. I appreciate that because he knows how his mom is, and that I am a raving lunatic when it comes to my children. And if it's 1 o'clock in the morning and I've not heard from you, I'm going to send out people to search for you, and you're probably just having a good time. But you should have probably let your mama know when it's time to work.
Because you're going to be embarrassed. And you're not going to go anywhere for a long time.
I'm left, and you're fine.
You're not going to be when we leave.
You tell me where you were, we're going to have a problem. Your 19-year-old ass can be grounded like a 5-year-old. I don't care. I'm just joking.
I can remember back in the day, Dad would always make sure I had a quarter in my pocket so I could use the payphone if I ever got stranded. If I was going on a date, going out with friends, whatever, here's a quarter. And I was like, I don't want to carry a quarter. You need it for the... And of course, kids nowadays don't understand
they
that
don't
reference,
understand that.
You know.
My best friend's
your phone charged.
The same way.
Yeah.
Whenever we leave their house just to go up the road to get a restaurant, we'd go sit and have coffee. That was our thing. And we would stay there all night. But she would always say, do you have change in your pocket in case you run out of gas or in case something happens and you need us?
Yep.
Because payphones were a thing.
I
can't even imagine trying to see my kids use a payphone now.
Nope.
But it would be hilarious.
It's rare that you even see one, but I have spotted one or two here and there.
Things were so much different. I used so many payphones and rode so many public transportation buses when I was a kid.
Yep.
Now I'm like,
the phone book was your friend.
It was. I thought I could find you. Your address is printed right there.
Your address and your phone
roll
number.
Up.
Good luck now.
You won't even know when I'm coming because I can't text you.
And somebody's on the phone, so I can't call you because you don't have call ready.
It's on right now, so you can't talk to me.
It's so different now. That's for sure.
God, I feel old.
You're welcome.
Made my whole fucking night.
Bringing you back.
On that note, we will probably be back next week, and you will hear all about the first week of school. I hope everybody has a great week. I do believe tomorrow night there will be a Cinephile, and I'm sure that there's not going to be a note by note on Friday because Danielle and the guy in glasses are celebrating their anniversary.
Yay, 1 year.
And then Sunday, I'm guessing that there will be a... See, he's not up here to verify these things, but I'm guessing there will be a movie of the week on Behind the Screen. So tune in to Wicked Curiosity Media's Facebook page, and they'll keep you updated. Have a good night, everybody.
You're going to say good night?
Good night.